Hey guys, it's DJ Jesse Janity, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about TrueCar. TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, but to see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay. Oh! Just listen to it.
Your Niners that lost again this week.
Well, guys,
sorry,
the Niners lost again.
That song right there. Whatever.
Niners choked.
Come on, and the Jets bite the dust one more time.
We are terrible.
The Jets do bite the dust. Well, guys, what's up? Welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Night Football After Show. In case you did not see the show tonight, the game tonight, this song right here will bring you up to date. As usual, the Jets bit the dust tonight. Yes, exactly. But then again, how many people actually thought that they would not bite the dust tonight? Not me.
I certainly did not.
Yes, even our producer knew. All right.
No, well, she's a Jets fan back there.
Whatever.
She's got some Jets love, so don't even go there. Just get on with the show.
She didn't watch the game tonight.
Whatever.
Anyways, well, moving on, guys. Welcome to the show. This is the Monday Night Football Recap Show. I'm so glad you guys have joined it. As you see, we have a lot of fun here. I go by the name of Kevin John, but I cannot do this by myself. Over across from me are two wonderful people that will be joining me. First of all, decked out in Jets gear.
Yeah, I have to ride my Jets today, man.
Yes!
I'm Julian DeJarek, by the way. Hi.
Julian, I just want you to know, yes. I don't know what possibly possessed you to put that on and come on this show, but I'm disturbed.
We love
and
him.
Disrespected.
I love him.
You know,
I love him.
I'm doing it because I'm a hardcore fan that jumps on the bandwagon, but I'm a hardcore fan.
Dude, if you're a Jets bandwagon fan, you're solid.
And speaking of hardcore fan,
I'm the token Jets fan. I am a woman of my word. The Jets lost. That is why you see me in a Niners jersey. I told Kevin that if the Jets lost, I'd wear a Niners jersey on the show. If the Jets would have won, he would have worn a Jets jersey. He would have worn way more Jets paraphernalia than just a jersey. But I'm gonna keep my word. I'm gonna happily wear this. I'm a Jets fan. We know how to lose graciously. But in my opening statement, I'm gonna say that Tina Kapp is not here today, and my Jets did better against the Dolphins than her Chargers.
That is true.
We got points. We only lost by 3. We fell apart. We don't have a quarterback. Fine. But we didn't get shut out 37-0. So that one's for you, Tina Kapp.
That is for you. And by the way,
the 49ers lost on Thanksgiving. So they bit the dust again. And the sad thing is, we know that the Jets are not going to the playoffs. We know that the Jets are terrible. We don't have a good quarterback. You, on the other hand, my friend, are still a little deluded that your team's good. And then they lose on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Just saying.
First of all, they lost to a great team, okay? They lost against one of the best defensive secondaries in the league in the Seattle Seahawks. Also, the fact that...
What's their record now?
It's irrelevant. It's winning. That's all that matters.
We're winning.
We're third in the NFC West, and Arizona's about to go down because Drew Stanton, their backup quarterback, is not playing on top level. So when it's all said and done, we'll probably be second in the NFC West, right behind Seahawks, and we'll get a wild card berth. Let me ask you, are the Jets making the playoffs this year?
Hell no!
Okay, great.
I'm not deluded like you are.
Hey, you know what? I will admit, the Niners are not looking sharp this year compared to the previous 3 years when they made it to the NFC Championship.
That's all I want is your honesty.
I am so honest. But can I be honest for a second, Steph? You look so beautiful in that jersey. You look, that is the most beautiful.
You know what, Steph? I look great.
Is there any way that you could just stand up?
There you go.
Can you stand up for the camera
and model?
Twirl that jersey.
My Jerry Rice jersey. At least you gave me Jerry Rice. It looks a little bit like Victor Cruz, but still, it's Jerry Rice. I'm happy to have it on.
It is beautiful.
I was a Jerry Rice fan. I was a Joe Montana fan. I'll give it to you.
Who cannot be a fan of the Niners in the
80s? Oh, Jesus, shush.
Just saying. Jeez. So anyways, let's get on.
I can think of about one person in this room.
And I love that our new co-host, Jillian, is rocking the Jets
because
he feels my pain. This was my outfit. We did a little change around.
You know, it hurts my heart. It really does. It really does.
So, Jillian,
Especially since I know so much about football.
Let me ask you, Jillian.
Please, let me tell you.
We've already established that the Jets are the laughingstock of the league. Losers, there's no way on earth they're making the playoffs. How does it feel to be wearing loser paraphernalia?
See, you know what? If you're going to do this, you got to be fair. The Jets are not the laughingstock.
Okay, the Raiders are.
The Raiders are. Yeah. And you also have to give props to Jets. We have good players. Mm-hmm. Our coaching, our GM, everything's under question. There's controversy.
Quarterback?
That's what I was just going
to
say.
We'll get to that later.
But if you look at our team, you look at some of the Chris Ivories, the Johnson, the Harvey,
Percy Harvin.
You know what I mean? We have good players. Mm-hmm. We have ingredients to make a good team. There's just big holes. So what I'm trying to say is that we're not the laughing stock. That I honestly feel that the Jets will. It's not like we're going to have losing seasons like this over and over. I think that they're starting to figure out they need to do things to adjust to make a better team. Like, we have some good staple players, and we haven't had those. Like, last year, who were our staple players? Like, we have better staple players this year than last year. They're just not fitting it together, the puzzle. So I feel more confident about our future than I did last year.
The problem is, part of the person that does make you guys a laughing stock and bring the attention there is... You're very flamboyant and outspoken coach Rex Ryan, who's known to bring the circus to town.
I disagree with you. I think our problems start with our GM, John Idzik. I think that Rex Ryan is a player's coach. I think the players like playing for him. So I think if they were using their money differently and different things happening. Yes, Rex is a defensive coach, and Idzik is offensive, and he wants to bring in more offense. So clearly there's butting of the heads happening. Like, there's no plan that works.
So, Julian, you're decked out Jets paraphernalia. What's your assessment of the franchise? What do they need to do differently?
Look, well, it's obvious that they need to do a lot differently. But, it's just, for me, I agree with you. I think there are a lot of holes in the team that need to be fixed. And it's football. Like, no one can fit. Wave a magic wand and fix all the problems with the team in one, even in one or two seasons. I think it's going to take some time to really admit the faults that the Jets have.
Right.
Because we do have, every team does, but I think there's a little bit of a deniability here.
I think there's a deniability, especially with our quarterbacks. I think that we had Mark Sanchez for sure. Too long. I think that, you know what I mean? It's like we give these quarterbacks chance after chance after chance when they're just terrible and we need to start from the scratch. And now there's talks next year that we're going to hopefully get Marcus Mirada from Oregon Ducks. I mean, there's literally a hash.
If he's smart, he won't go to the Jets.
That's a dumb comment. But what I'm trying to say is, it's funny because there's actually a hashtag going around in the New York Jets world that says, it says suck for the duck. So it's pretty much like if we suck and lose games, we'll figure out how to get better picks in the draft for next year, which I think is kind of hysterical.
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
No, Joey. I was just gonna finish the point. Like, I don't really think you can fix all of these issues in such a small window of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna take some time, and you know, that's what it is. You know, it's a big team. It takes time to fix these issues, and we're aware of them, and we're working on them.
Yeah, and going back to kind of what you said, Steph. You know, as I think of Jets quarterbacks over the last, because we know any great franchise starts with a great quarterback.
Right.
I
mean,
yeah. When's the last time we had a good quarterback?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Over the last 10 years, you had Chad Pennington. Mm. Benny Testaverde.
Brett Favre
for a season.
Right.
But he was too busy texting Jen Sturger.
Like, it's kind of like how we had Michael Vick for a season. I doubt Vick will be with the Jets next year.
Exactly. I mean, those were just quick fixes. Those weren't long-term. So, like I said, I think Chad Pennington, with the exception of Mark Sanchez, were maybe the only two quarterbacks at one point in time were seen as franchise quarterbacks to be the long-term effect. And obviously, as history has played out, they were not. So I 100% agree with you, Steph. I'm actually not even going to bash him. I'm going to say...
The last time we had a franchise quarterback was, Kenny O'Brien? Richard Todd? Like, back in those days...
What about Namath?
But that was...
You know, he was the franchise of the franchise.
Right, but what I'm saying is...
Broadway Joe.
Within the past 20, 30 years, Broadway Joe, who was at the show, at the game tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, when's
Broadway
the last
Joe
time?
Left after the third quarter because he was embarrassed.
He was like, I'm out of here.
Actually, they were up at the third quarter, so he would
have... We were up almost all the game. You know what? We had a chance.
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that.
Right, but the thing is, with those holes... And this is a constant problem with the Jets. We beat ourselves. I'm not saying the Dolphins didn't play well, but we have drop passes. We have opportunities where we can't intercept the ball. We can't, you know, catch the ball. We missed two field goals. Like, we should have won this game.
Yeah.
We should have.
It's self-sabotage for sure, and it's definitely a frustrating thing as a Jets fan that I, you know, a hardcore Jets fan. you know, that to see that the self-sabotage that's happening, it's very frustrating. But those are one of the things that we need to work on for sure.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you because, you know, let's just get into the game tonight. If you look, you know, before we dissect it, just, you know, quick thoughts. I mean, who would you say, usually we always give, you know, we talk about at the end of every game, there's a player of the game who's the MVP of the game and did a good job. Who would you guys give the two HVPs, the horrible value, or most horrible player, MHP to for the Jets?
Falk, he missed two freaking field goals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I think he was
bad enough for two people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But I have to say, and the Dolphins missed a field goal as well. I've been in MetLife Stadium when it is windy, and we saw in the beginning of the game it was raining. So when there's weather, the wind in there, and I feel like we even heard them talking about it. It's no excuse. If your sole job is to kick a ball through an upright,
you're making so much money to friggin' play football.
But you guys, weather conditions are critical.
And we saw it on both sides. For there to be a football game where three field goals are missed, it's kind of...
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a statistic that says that happens very rarely.
Well, it also depends on where the field goals were in. I know that Folk missed two field goals that were within 40 to 48 yards, I believe. And those are, you know, you have college players that kick those. But
the Dolphins missed one that was like 30-something yards.
That's true.
So it doesn't, you know, that doesn't really play.
And I say that's why, you know, you really have to look at weather conditions and how critical those are, you know, because but then again, Adam Vinatieri, one of the best place kickers of all time, kicked in some horrendous weather conditions and still kicked the Patriots to Super Bowl. So, you know, whatever you want to say. But anyways, let's get into the game.
Right.
If you look at the first quarter alone, the Jets absolutely dominated, not just the time of possession, not just the line of scrimmage, but I'm talking rushing yards. They had more yards in the first quarter than any other team in the NFL this year had. I mean, that's just supreme domination, ground and pound, hitting the other team where it hurts.
And that's what I'm saying is what's happening with the Jets. I mean, you look at that, that comes from Chris Johnson, that comes from Ivory, that comes from Harvin. So it's like those three guys, Powell every now and then is in there, but it's like those three guys, Chris Johnson, you didn't see him get any, you know, cumulative yards for the first four games.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't show up. So it's like, again, so now our run, we still don't have a pass game. It was terrible tonight, but our run game's getting stronger. So it's like, things are getting better, but things aren't still there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, of course, like, would you expect the New York Jets to have that, you know, record or statistic tonight? Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Because they came out so strong in the beginning of the game, like I would think the momentum was there for them to just take it home. You know, that's the biggest thing. I felt like, you know, the things that happened in the second half, or even like just towards the end of the game, like just shouldn't happen when you have that kind of a start, that kind of momentum. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with you. And they're at home.
So they're at home too. Come on.
Come on. But no, you bring up a good point.
Of like the New York fan, like it's just being a Jets fan, like, and it's not like
has to suck.
But not such a
jerk. You know, I love you, Steph.
But like, it's like you almost are waiting for that to happen when you're. You know what I'm saying? It's like a New York thing. It's like even in the beginning of the season when we played the Packers and like the assistant coach or the offensive coach calls a timeout when he's not allowed and it breaks up the play where we could have beat the Packers. Like all that stuff happens to like the Jets. I feel like we were. It's like the reverse curse. Like as soon as we had Bill Belichick for a day and then we got rid of him. He was our coach for a day. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
And he got the hell out of Dodge.
Right, but it was literally like it's like the reverse Babe Ruth curse. You know what I mean? It's like he went
curse
to the
Bambino.
Yeah.
So you know, my question is, Julian, you brought up a good point talking about how they came out with momentum and there was a collapse in the second half. Part of that collapse was in the rushing game. They rushed for over 200 yards in the first half. The second half, they barely rushed for 55 yards.
They got tired.
So my question is, what do you attribute the collapse of their second half to? What was it? Was it Geno Smith's horrible play? Was it the rushing game's horrible play? What was the problem?
I wish I could attribute it to just one thing. I think it's a multitude of different things that kind of were in perfect position for them to kind of drop the ball, pardon the pun.
Right. No, I agree with you. I feel like they got tired. I feel like they were doing the hurry up, no huddle in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like the mental strength to be, and this is going to sound super corny, but it's like the mental strength to be a Jet right now or to be a Raider right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like to come out play after play and you have this lead. Like we were up 10-0 at one point and the Dolphins missed a field goal and that momentum only can take you so far when then you see, you know, an interception or Geno gets sacked or, you know, Decker drops a ball or this one gets hit in the numbers. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much that you can shake off without being like, man, you know, I feel like that's kind of what happens to the Jets.
Like Taylor Swift says, you just got to shake it off and keep going. But anyways, you brought
that's
up
a little tough to shake off.
That's a tough shake off.
No.
So let's brought up Geno Smith. I'm going to read his stat line tonight, and I'm expecting everyone's jaw to drop. 7 of 13. 65 yards, one interception. Now, if that is not the most mediocre, subpar stat line I've read for a quarterback throughout the whole season of the NFL this year, I don't know what is. I mean, that stat line just reads atrocity.
Honestly, that makes me happy, and I'll tell you why. Because if Geno Smith would have came out, and granted I wanted to win, and I want to squish the fish, and I want to beat the Dolphins always because it's a rivalry, but if Geno Smith would have came out and played an awesome game and would have won, they would have had more hope for him. If they see that during him doing a complete running game, and he's still the few times that they give him the opportunity to throw the ball, he still can't capitalize on that. They see that he is not the franchise quarterback, and maybe they'll get rid of him.
So you're saying that this game tonight may have solidified
Hopefully.
Him not being the future quarterback of the future?
Hopefully, yes, because I do not think he is a NFL franchise quarterback at all. He's not there.
The next question, though, is with guys like, you know, these Geno Smiths or, you know, guy from the Raiders that stunk it up. Really getting it's not coming to me. Number one, Jamarcus Russell, Sam Bradford, Colt McCoy. You know, a lot of these really good quarterbacks that come into the league and fell their first couple of years. How much blame do you put on the quarterback, or do you blame the talent around them, the offensive coordinator, the team that they have to work with? Because not everyone like Russell Wilson is lucky and gets to come to play at the Seahawks their first couple of years in the league. Or
I think it's a little bit of all of that. But when it comes to the Jets, there was no supporting cast till midseason. You know what I mean? We have a lot of new players. There's a lot of transition. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, but in the same sense, if you would have put Andrew Luck his first year with the Jets this year, he still would have done better than Geno Smith's doing or Michael Vick done.
Oh, I agree.
You know
I 100%
what I mean?
Agree.
So, like, I feel like everything plays factor a little bit, but in the same sense, like, if you're a good quarterback and you command that leadership and you figure out, you know what I mean? Like, people follow that. And I don't think Gino has that. And I feel like it was the same with Mark Sanchez for me. And this is why, I mean, here we go getting crazy, but this is why I actually liked Tim Tebow for a second, because of the fact that even though he was terrible, he wanted...
Wait a second.
You said Tim Tebow. Did you say you like Tim Tebow? One of the worst passers in the history of the game.
Let me finish. Sit down and let me finish, and then you're going to be muted. But what I'm saying is, he was terrible, just like Geno Smith, just like terrible, but he wanted to win. He came out on that field. He wanted to be there. He had this poise and this leader. Like, he wanted, he had this presence.
Steph, I'm with you on a lot of things, but want and desire doesn't win games all the time.
It doesn't, it doesn't, and that's why he's gone. But it seemed like he gave more of a shit to be out on the field than Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez. That's all I'm saying. He's a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying like I want him to be my quarterback. I'm just saying that's why what I did like about him was
you're giving him an A for effort, is what you're saying.
I'm giving him an A for attitude.
Okay. Well, you know what? Guess what doesn't win games? Attitude doesn't win games.
Shut it.
Production and points do win games, okay?
Right.
Tim Tebow, great example. I actually agree with you. I think every time that man stepped on the field, he had the heart of a lion, and he would do what he had to do to win ball games. Right. And that, at times, actually did revive the offense when he was out there and give them a resurgence of energy.
But it's when your quarterback's walking around, hanging his head, being scared, having no confidence, that shows in your team.
But how can you give Geno confidence when just 2 weeks before this, you bench the guy? That's the worst way to give your quarterback confidence, is by benching him. How do you expect him to grow and develop?
Well, it's a catch-22. I mean, if you're not good, you're not going to play. And if you don't play, you don't have confidence.
So exactly.
If you don't have confidence, you're not going to play well. So then you
know, I also think the reason why they changed is because Rex knows his job's on the line. Mike Igzik knows his. They had to do something.
Yeah.
They had to do something. And for me, personally, the something that I wish they would have done, play Matt Sims.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Michael Vick is.
Play Matt
Sims. Exactly. What do you guys have to lose? Put Matt Sims. I agree with you on that.
I think get rid of them both. Or keep Vic so that Vic knows the game. He's a veteran quarterback. He knows the game more. Have him kind of oversee Matt Sims' development. Because I feel like Matt Sims, number one, he's got the height. He can see plays. He can see stuff happening. He's got the poise. And he's been there for like 2-3 years watching on the sidelines. Yeah. Like, I feel like give him 3-4 games in a row. So let him start the rest of the season. Results.
No, I agree. I think Matt Sims has that key I word that quarterbacks need, and that's intangibles. And he has a lot of those, and he can bring a lot of those to the game. So I do agree with you. Now let's talk about, you know, someone else that's on that team who's a veteran that actually showed up in a big way tonight, Chris Johnson. 17 carries. He had over 100 yards rushing. Right. And you saw a little bit of vintage Chris Johnson on the Titans, you know, out there tonight, you know, being patient, running hard, maintaining his speed. Do you think with a performance like this, Chris Johnson can potentially, you know, be the tailback of them for the next few years here?
I don't know if for the next few years. I think definitely in the interim for sure. I think that's. I mean, what do you think?
I agree with you. I feel like. Chris Johnson, I feel like having Chris Johnson, he's a very versatile player. I feel like he can be almost more than that in a sense. He can catch the ball, he can run the ball, he can do stuff. I feel like with him, he can't do it alone, but I feel like with him and Ivory and Powell, we've got a lot of guys now that can run and catch the ball, so it's if they had that quarterback, that key person making plays for them. Like, a lot of times, too, the plays are just a little... The ball's just a little bit too short. It falls out of his hand when he's handing off. Like, there's just plays that, like, are so just elementary that should be happening that aren't.
Yeah. No, I
like Johnson on the Jets. And I said, again, it took him... that's the thing. It took him 4 or 5 games to, you know, kind of get to the point where he's having games like tonight, which is fine when you have new players, but it's just a lot of the players are new, and that's happening, and the quarterback should be the one constant, and there hasn't been. And so it's got to weigh on the players.
You know, speaking of confidence, Julian, I know that you brought that up, having confidence in Geno Smith. One of the things that I saw tonight that just absolutely disturbed me, if you're trying to ignite confidence in your guy, is on some of those last couple of drives. Well, the last drive he had to throw because they were trying to get on the field, but the second to the last drive, third to last, it's like they had no faith whatsoever in Geno Smith's arm. It was like 3rd and 9, and he's handing the ball off on one of those drives, and it's just like the opposite coordinator just said, look, if we're going to win this game, it's not going to be on Geno Smith's arm. It's going to be on Chris Johnson or
see,
another
run. I see
run.
That a lot, though. When you're that backed just, up to the end zone, I feel like a lot of times they do a run just
I
to get
agree,
out
a just to push it out.
I think it was a more strategic thing than it was
I mean, they didn't trust
thing,
Geno. Right? They didn't trust Geno's arm at all. Agreed. But I don't think that particular play
I agree.
Enforce that more or less.
There's some definitely some legitimacy to that. I do agree with you on that. But just generally speaking, he only attempted, I think through the third quarter, he had only attempted like six passes, which was like, I think they ran a stat saying that that was the lowest amount of passes ever attempted by a quarterback through three quarters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just shows that really Geno Smith was not in the offensive game plan at all. It was like Geno hand the ball off, and if worst case scenario, we'll have you throw it. Worst case scenario. But it was like, you know, they didn't even give him the option to really throw tonight. And I just thought that was really disheartening, especially to Geno Smith if you're trying to build a team and build confidence on him.
I mean, you know, it's less disheartening than watching him throw interceptions and not getting any points.
Yeah,
so I'll take what we had tonight. Anybody else having feedback?
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of feedback, too. But I think that it just does that whenever we talk about the Jets. So it's been doing that all day. But no,
this guy's on fire tonight, man.
Every Monday.
Is this every Monday? Is this what you do
Monday
every week?
This is how I express my love to her.
Yeah, it's like his therapy.
It's like
he takes out all his aggression on me and my Jets.
This is how he expresses love to you. This is how you express love to her. Yeah. So
that's
this
how
is
I express
a very
my
backwards
love.
Kind
that,
of logic. But okay, whatever
some
works
earlier
for you
comments.
Two.
But Julian is actually effective in our relationship. You know, because she, you know, any chance she gets to bash the 49ers, she does do it. Like she talked about my Niners on Thanksgiving. 49ers. I understand. We only scored 3 points. The Jets scored more points than we did tonight.
Scored more points than the Chargers.
That's
the
Chargers. Yeah, and that's 3 points. That's
It's really thank you. Yeah, it's a rah.
Yeah,
at least you can admit it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. You know, see, I can admit when
I know
my
a lot
team,
of 49ers fans that are, what's the word? Delusional?
There are. There are. Actually, Raider fans are more delusional than Niner fans, but I do agree with you on that. I do agree. Now, speaking of interceptions, you brought up earlier. I was about to say Mark Sanchez. Geno Smith, because I'm so used to Mark killing it for the Jets, but Geno Smith threw the decisive interception on that last drive, or should I say the game-ending interception, when he tried to thread it between two defenders.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a smart read on Geno Smith, or do you think that was just great defense on...
I think he might be blind. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a theory.
I just think that he panics and he doesn't see the whole field. There was three guys around him. I mean, he just didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, you know, and let's talk
and
about
he
his...
doesn't place it in a place where, you know, his throwing isn't accurate enough to place it where the defenders can't get. Because plenty of quarterbacks make passes when a guy has three people on him and they catch him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, look at the Packers. Look at even, you know, I hate to say it, but look at the Patriots. Like, people do that.
Yeah.
But he's not a good enough quarterback to make those plays.
I agree. And even on plays that were not as difficult or, you know, had a difficulty rate is that he had a little screen out pass, I want to say to Johnson or somebody, and a screen out is just when the running back comes out of the backfield.
I think it was to Harvin.
Quick.
Or maybe it was Johnson.
Or maybe it could have been Harvin. It could have been Harvin because he lines up in the backfield sometimes. But yeah,
like
exactly.
Passes,
but
yeah.
It was a little dump pass, a little 4 or 5 yard pass, and I was like, Steph, you realize you could have been more accurate on that pass than he did.
I have a good arm. Hey, Jets, I'm available.
Hey, I'm just saying. And she won't charge half of what Geno would charge. Okay?
I don't know how they'll feel about this, though. I don't know.
Hey, man, I'm a team player.
You're a team player?
Yeah.
You know, actually.
So can we wait? So I wasn't here last week when you guys made this bet. So let's talk about
it. No, we made the bet today.
So you made the bet today.
Yeah, I actually called him and made the bet.
Was this what he would have worn? Was this what you were supposed to wear?
Yeah,
something like that.
Something like that.
I actually have like eye stickies that I would have put on.
Oh,
I
that would have been amazing.
The spirit finger gloves that he would have had to wear.
It would have been pitiful.
Can you spare finger gloves? Because you pulled them out during
them on
the game.
Show. I've worn
them. Oh, okay.
Them
so they know.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's the first time I saw them, and I was just blown away.
Yeah, my best friend
like,
Melissa
is,
made them for me.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. Pretty
very
fabulous.
Fun.
They are. They're really nice jazz hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
And to be a team player, we do at some point have to say that the Dolphins have been kind of playing good this season. I know we're just making this all about the Jets, but, you know, and that even more so is the Jets. You know what's funny? If you think about it, the Jets terrible. Got it. I understand. We don't need to say it again. I'm sure we will, but I get it. But when it comes to the Jets playing the Patriots or the Jets playing the Dolphins, it's usually a good game. Every mm-hmm. now and then there'll be a blowout. But when we played the Patriots on that Thursday a few weeks ago, we only lost by 2 points, and we actually, missed the field goal. It was blocked, and we could have won that game.
And which is completely disheartening to me, because I feel like there was a good back and forth during that game. Am I kind of crazy in that?
No, like, you're totally right. Yeah. So it's like, even though the Dolphins are doing well and doing things like shutting out the Chargers 37-0 and they're playing strong, we somehow, the rivalry, like, it's kind of usually, like, more times than not, it's a good game. Mm-hmm. And the Dolphins are good this year. They got Wallace, who used to play for the Steelers.
Mike Wallace,
figured out. Like, he's making plays. He looked pissed when he didn't get the ball thrown to him. Tannehill's having a really good season. He's having one of his better seasons.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, with the Dolphins winning tonight's game, they're in the wild card position. I know we have a lot of games left and, you know, a lot of things will happen. And they do have to play the Patriots one more time. We play them one more time, so we'll see how that shakes out. But you know, the Dolphins are—they're having a pretty good season. But Tannehill tonight too—he almost had 2 interceptions as well. So with the rain coming down and the weather, you gotta mm-hmm. factor all that in. That they kind of played on par with each other.
No, they did. They did. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about the Dolphins is, yes, Tannehill wasn't, you know, he wasn't Brady or Manning or Aaron Rodgers tonight. But the thing about great quarterbacks are that really good quarterbacks, when the game, they score 2 different times. Really good quarterbacks, they take their team down and score right before the end of the half. Really good quarterbacks. Tannehill did that. And also at the end of the game, when he took them down on one of the last drives and they got the what's-his-face ran the ball in, they scored again. So that's the thing about Tannehill that I would say is, when it matters, he steps up. And that's what good quarterbacks do, regardless of how bad your game is. Brian Hoyer,
well, that's confidence. Two
weeks ago, threw like 3 interceptions and came back that last drive and won the game for the Browns. So I think a lot of that just goes down to when good quarterbacks step up when they need it. And I think Tannehill is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And Miami is now 6th in the AFC, sitting at 7-5, and they're looking pretty. I mean, we know they have to play the Pats and a few other difficult teams before the end of the season.
Yeah, they play the Patriots, play the Bills again. I think they play maybe the Packers, they play the Jets again. Maybe not the Packers, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure they have to play a division game against the whole division again. They've played everyone once, and we usually play them twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like, you know, it's not like it could very easily go from 7-5 to 7-7 to 7-8. Or, you know, it could go to 9-5. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Dolphins are in a position where it really could go either way right now. They're not completely dominating, but they're not crap, you know?
You think the Pats will win?
Against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Well, they lost against the Packers, but then again, that's a very good Packers team.
That's
the only
reason I ask.
Very good Packers team.
The Packers, so I'm just, throwing that out there. I don't know. Yeah.
And Green Bay, you know, they have a 9-3 record. They're tied with the... But yeah, you know, I honestly thought the Patriots were going to beat Green Bay this past week. But then again, they're playing at Lambeau.
Tom Brady always chokes.
Tom Brady always chokes. Have you seen his playoff record as a quarterback?
And he chokes.
I think you may want to revisit that. Now, granted, he may have choked in the last 2 Super Bowls that he made, where he lost to the Giants. But the one New York team that does know how to play football. But anyways,
the Giants are terrible too.
They are terrible this year.
One Super Bowl choke, I feel like, equates to like 8.
I'll put it like
games.
This. Tom Brady is one of the most...
during the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Tom Brady, he's a good quarterback.
He's a very good. And I think he's actually, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I believe he is one of the most winningest quarterbacks in the post, if not the winningest quarterback. Mm. Like I said, I'm going to have to check with my producers to get the stats on that. But my producers aren't going to bring me that. But anyways, if anyone wants to call in and tell us right now, please let us know.
There's nobody there.
Just
waving no.
Yeah. Or not. You could tweet in. Tweet in right now. Your tweets are live. But we were speaking of some of the games from week 13. Week 13 is officially in the books. What particularly stood out for you on week 13? You know, any particular teams, players, anything that...
The Jets lost to the Dolphins. And Tom Brady choked.
I don't think you understand. It just happened. The wound is fresh.
Yes.
It is.
It is fresh.
So why don't we pour some salt? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, let's not. Okay? Yeah. Let's not maybe say we did, but let's not do that.
We'll put Neil Sporin on it.
Psych.
Every week this happens?
Yeah.
Oh my word. How do you deal?
I have a really good I'm very confident.
You're a saint.
She is very much so a saint. Now, speaking of the Saints have a very interesting thing going on here. The Saints are actually tied for first in the AFC South
with
Atlanta. Well, yeah. You know, that's all I do.
He's a professional writer.
What can I say? I just pretend to be. But yeah, the Saints are tied with Atlanta in the NFC South with a 5-7 record. I mean, the NFC South just has to be the most horrible division this year. And it may be one of those situations where we'll have a team with a, there's a lot of static and feedback. I don't know what that is, but it may be another situation where you have a team with a losing record.
Because this conversation is so electric.
There you go. Wow, you're good too.
I'm good too, buddy. Julian. What?
No, Bob.com. Bob.com. I mean, you are just grinding tonight, man.
I'm trying. I'm trying. It's hard for me. You know, I'm trying to keep a very positive attitude, but I'm just so depressed.
Yeah. Depressed. Honestly, anybody would be depressed wearing a Jets paraphernalia.
Too when I got Niners on.
How does it feel to dress like a winner today? I mean, is there anything that
You actually lost worse than I did this week, so I don't really that whole winning thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate.
You're gonna lose like the next 4 or 5 games because I have this jersey on. Ooh. I'm giving you the bad mojo.
Did you just say the Niners are gonna use? Well, actually, there's only 4 games left.
They're but gonna lose all 4.
You're
games.
Saying they're gonna lose.
I'm putting the curse on the jersey right now. I'm wiping off my Jet stuff on the jersey.
Shame on you. Shame on you, okay? You have no idea how those words are going to come back and taunt you, kill you, demoralize you, and destroy you.
Oh, no. Will it make us our season 2-14?
No, maybe they'll just ban the Jets from being in the league next year and say, you know what? You guys are just you're bringing the NFL no money. You're the laughingstock.
That's not
Roger
true.
Goodell is just going to rid of the Jets next year and say, you guys, just take a season off. Take a season off.
There's a lot of money going into the Jets are bringing in a lot of money, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is making a lot of
They're selling out every stadium,
seriously.
You know.
Yeah, actually, tonight.
Yeah.
So, I got an update really on StubHub tonight that says last-minute Jets tickets, $25.
Wow. You know it's bad when it's...
I wish I was there.
Really
I totally
cheap,
went away.
And it was, like, pretty close to the field, so I don't know that they're selling out anything.
And I was about to say, you know it's bad when Jets tickets cost less than 2 movie tickets, you know, put together. I mean, that's really pitiful. But then again, when you're the Jets, what else do you expect?
That's a nice analogy, Kevin. That's a really good analogy.
I'm here for the great analogies. I'm on it. I'm on it. Yes, exactly. It's just like I have my analogies in a grinder tonight or something.
First the Saints, and now this.
So anyways, thank you for getting that. Moving on.
Yes.
Another hot topic in the NFL this week I'm not going to bash the Jets now because that's just too easy. Another hot topic in the NFL this week is Ray Rice being reinstated by the league, meaning that now they enabled him to get picked up by any team in the league for the duration of the season. Now, typically there's only 4 games left, but you have the players now that are rallying around Ray Rice saying he deserves to get to a team and actually trying to convince their front offices to take a chance on Ray Rice. First of all, do you guys think that Ray Rice is going to get picked up by the next the end of the season? And B, do you think that he should be able to get picked up by the rest of the season or be out for the rest of it? What are your thoughts on that?
I think he will, but I don't think he should.
You don't think he should?
I feel like I'm kind of like 50-50. I feel like at this point in time, for a team to pick him up, to pay him for 4 games, if it's not, like, I feel like it's either going to be a team that's really kind of like on the fence to get to playoffs or not that might pick him up. So it's either going to be like a good team or no team. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's going to be a team that's like, wow, well, you know, we're a little bit weak here and he can help us, you know, get to that extra position. But it's a weird time for him. Like, if he would have came in like halfway through the season, I feel like there'd be more odds that he'd get picked up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a little bit of a weird time. And, you know, if it's a different team to learn all their plays, to learn the playbook, to figure it all out with 4 games left, I mean, that's kind of asking a lot of anyone. So why not wait till the offseason, get him really prepped? Because if he comes back and he's not prepared and he doesn't do well, I think he's going to get more flack than...
Well, who's to say that they're not doing that for the offseason? I mean, if it doesn't make a difference, then what... Why not? Why not pick him up on a team and then...
Right. What I'm saying, like, I don't think he's going to be picked up on a team Like, it's either going to be a team that's getting into the playoffs and thinks that he can do it. Like, I don't think he's going to be picked up on a team like, say, the Jets or someone that just needs something and thinks that he'll grow into a position and he'll make it better, like, as a unit until, like, because it doesn't, because then they're going to pay him for four games for this season for no
results. It'd be prorated, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know how all the money works with that, but I feel like.
I think the reason I said I don't think he should is because of that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I think there's a good chance he will.
No, let me ask you guys this: Do you think that there will be some backlash from the fan base of whatever team he goes to? Like, you remember when Vic initially came back into the league and played for the Eagles? There was a lot of fan backlash. People saying they were going to boycott games and purchase jerseys. What do you think reaction is going to be with Ray Rice coming?
No question in my mind that there's going to be a backlash. There's when there's a liked player, I feel like there's some amount of backlash. But with Ray Rice, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I agree with you.
I think that it's going to be, it's exactly what you said. Same thing as Michael Vick. Like, a lot of people are just fans of the sport and put the personal side of Michael Vick aside.
Exactly.
And a lot of people can't let that go. And, you know, I kind of sit in the middle on that, like, because I can appreciate athleticism. Uh-huh. And I can see that, you know, morals, you know, I could see both. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
I don't tend to, as much as I'm aware of what Michael Vick did and I don't like it, you know what I mean? Like, I also can be like, he's a great football player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can see the, and I'm not condoning what he did or making excuses for it. Like, I would never want to hang out with him, but it doesn't, because they do something that is immoral or morally wrong or not accepted, doesn't mean that they're a bad football player.
But it almost feels like rewarding bad behavior, no? How do we reconcile, or I won't say how do we, I'll just speak for me, like, I can't reconcile such deplorable, reprehensible behavior in your personal life to be rewarded in your professional life. I think in any other business, like, if you look at any other business, like, if there are morality clauses in contracts, there are, you know, there's different
conduct codes.
Yeah, conduct codes. Like, why is there an exception?
I don't think there should be an exception at all.
Yeah.
It seems like there is. I don't know.
I think it seems like there is too. And again, I'm not saying that I agree with it or
think
he should. I'm just saying that, like,
it.
A lot of people, because of what Michael Vick did, and I'm just bringing it to him because he's actually playing in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because of what he did, people are like, oh man, he sucks. Da, da, da. Like, yes, he sucks as a human being, but he doesn't suck as a quarterback. And I feel like people collapse that, and that's what also goes against the code of conduct of what people should and shouldn't be able to do.
I think it puts a stain on the game.
Right.
I think it puts a stain on the game.
Well,
I mean,
so you're getting back to, can you separate the immoral side to the athleticism side? Can you separate the two?
Yeah. Like, I'm saying that I personally can separate and see the difference, but I don't know that they should be separated. Does that make sense?
I understand, because
statistically, obviously, anybody can see the difference, but, like, morally,
and then
I mean,
another thing you got to realize,
I have a hard time kind of reconciling that.
Yeah, me too.
No, I agree. Because, you know, I've been in tough situations as well. If you look at other people that have made morally wrong decisions, not just in sports, but entertainers, you know, Chris Brown, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson even, you know, people that are brilliant in what they do, their talent, you know, but have really did some, some heinous crimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I look at it like this, you know, if a franchise is willing to take a risk and willing to take Ray Rice, they realize they're not just getting Ray Rice, the athlete, but they're getting the package and everything that comes with that, which means fans that may be protesting or.
See, I just have a problem with, like, if Ray Rice would have, you know, and again, like, I haven't seen this newest thing, so I'm not completely updated, but, like, if Ray Rice would have gotten, you know, jail time and would have done that, and then gotten anger management and would have done that, and then had to go be, like, sober and would have done that, or whatever they made him do, and he would have done all that, like, I believe that people sometimes make bad decisions and can be trained, coached, whatever. Yeah. It's like, I feel like the NFL should be giving him more tools to show people that this behavior is not acceptable and won't be acceptable in the NFL, and that he has to do step 1 to 10 in order to get back.
So you don't feel that he's fully redeemed himself?
I found the list.
Thank you. So our producers have found the list of quarterbacks. And just first of all, nowhere on there do I see Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez, Chad Pennington, Vinny Testaverde, or any of the other Jets.
Nowhere on there do I see any 49ers either.
Thank you.
First of all, Joe Montana probably
is not on that list.
Well, this list could be since 2000. So anyways, at the end, I'm just
which
saying.
Which I don't see on 49er.
If you see at the top, obviously Tom Brady is the person at the top, like I said. Which is, and
I didn't say he's a bad quarterback. I just said sometimes he chokes. And I have to say that because I'm a Jets fan. I appreciate him. I like him. I've heard he's a great guy.
What,
speaking of choker, quarterback, but he just sometimes, like, you know, he just, it makes me happy that sometimes in the end they don't win.
And you know what's shocking is look how far Peyton Manning down is on that list, speaking of chokers. And he's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, at least regular season greatest quarterback of all time. So that just tries to show you, you know.
Arguably. I'm just kidding.
Arguably.
This has got to be, though. I mean, Drew Brees above Rodgers. You know what? Roethlisberger, that's one. When we talk about our four tops, we don't ever really mention Roethlisberger.
Because look at how Pittsburgh's did the last few years.
I know,
years.
But it's interesting. Interesting that
Tebow
this is
beat Roethlisberger, all right, in the playoffs when Tebow was with Denver.
But if you look at it, it's like every other we did. We did Tom Brady, we did Drew Brees, we did Aaron Rodgers, we did Peyton Manning. It's like every other was what we picked as our top four. We didn't pick Eli Manning, we didn't pick Roethlisberger, we didn't pick Rivers.
Well, when it's all said and done, Andrew Luck's definitely going to be in the top four. And you know, something interesting about Roethlisberger, he does get left off a lot of times. We discuss elite quarterbacks within the league and stuff like that. And people forget Roethlisberger has two Super Bowl rings, and he's been to a third Super Bowl. And
didn't he beat somebody up too? Wasn't there some drama with him?
He allegedly had assaulted a girl or in a bathroom, or sexually assaulted a woman in a bathroom. And he actually was penalized by the NFL longer than Ray Rice was. He was penalized, well, initially with the Ray Rice thing. But he was penalized four games, or six games, I think it was, that Roethlisberger initially had to miss for that. And a lot of people forgot about it. Like, every now and then you'll still see people.
Of course they forgot about it. It was only four games.
Exactly. Well, you know, a lot of times on message boards you still see people that'll put, like, Ben Roethlisberger and stuff like that. There's still people that can't let it go. You know, there's still people that can't let what Vic did go. But that's a good point. I forgot about Roethlisberger was involved in that. So that's unfortunate. But anyways, back to elite quarterbacks. Roethlisberger's never really mentioned in there. And he has more rings. The only person on that list that has more rings than Roethlisberger is actually Tom Brady. Roethlisberger has more rings than Peyton Manning. He has more rings than Aaron Rodgers. He has more rings.
How many does Brady have?
Brady just
three.
Peyton?
No, Brady.
Oh, Brady has three. Yeah,
three. Yeah.
Because he lost his last two against the guy right before him, Eli Manning, who has two.
Which is crazy because Eli Manning kind of stinks this
exactly.
year.
Exactly, but he has more.
This has to be yeah.
But that's kind of what I look about. You know, I think great quarterbacks play good. In the playoffs, when the game's
matters.
On the line. And that's why Eli Manning is second on that list.
Well, and that's the same sense. There's numbers next to those guys, and I'm really curious to what they are, if that's the actual real order. If Peyton Manning's two, if Brady's one.
It says here that it says one Tom Brady, eight Eli Manning, four Drew Brees, five
so
Ben
I feel like this isn't the right order. So I feel like it's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Brees, Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Wilson, then Eli Manning.
Because they're bracketed by their division.
So is this bracketed by?
I think it's division.
It's bracket. See the bracket. So this isn't like.
Yeah,
it's not
I'm sorry.
Tom Brady,
so it goes Tom Brady, Peyton Manning,
right?
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Ben. So it is our top four.
Yeah,
it's our top four. Yeah, exactly. And Rivers, that's another one who, you know, he's always been a good quarterback throughout his, throughout his franchise, but he's never been able to really get over the hump. You know, making it to a Super Bowl, and that's what I mean. But anyways, you know, as you can see, that is definitely a great list of quarterbacks there. And if I had to pick two to end up in the Super Bowl this year, I would pick Manning out the AFC, and I would pick Rodgers out the NFC. And I would say Peyton Manning versus Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. If I was just going to make a wild prediction on Super Bowl right
now.
Really? Yeah, I would pick Denver against Green Bay.
That's
right
interesting
now.
To me. Why? Why?
Well, Green Bay, first of all, did you see what they just did against the Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Okay.
They defeated a very good team. The Patriots actually had won seven in a row up to that game. Okay. So, I mean, clearly they were on fire. And, you know, the the pack was able to obviously cool the fire. And Aaron Rodgers has always been an elite quarterback. I mean, the precision on his balls last game. Yeah. Excuse me. The precision on his balls
more
that
mature.
He would throw. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. More mature here. But the precision on his.
You do one of those, like, every show.
I do. Didn't I say something about Michael Vick's sack one time, too?
You did.
Anyways, I didn't mean it like that. But anyway, just the precision on his passes. And you see Aaron Rodgers every year. He's getting more and more mature in the pocket. And they're due back for another Super Bowl. So I put Green. I mean, the only competition Green Bay is going to have out of the NFC is going to be either Seattle or, I'm not being biased, the 49ers. That's the only competition I really see them having. And that's not a diss to the Cardinals, who are leading the NFC West right now. But I think
the Eagles? What if we see Mark Sanchez in a Super Bowl?
Speaking of choker, I don't see. The thing is, I like the Eagles. Eagles.
That'd be a sight for sore eyes now.
I like the Eagles, but I'm not a believer
and
in
not
Sanchez.
The Cardinals, you don't think?
No. Have you seen them the last two games?
They're still 9-3.
That's because they started off like 9-1. So, of course, they're going to only. But
started off. That's 10 games into the season, dude.
But you gotta understand. See, the thing is, their quarterback is out for the season, Carson Palmer. He has a season, and we just talked about how significant it is, or critical it is, to have your head quarterback in there. They're playing with Drew Stanton, who's not bad. He's not Geno Smith, but I don't know if he has what it takes to continuously lead this team
that's
in a tight division.
Suck.
Anyway.
So what are your predictions? I'm curious.
For the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Ooh. I wouldn't be surprised if how everybody was saying the Packers Patriots was a preview to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if that was it. I don't think the Seahawks are going to make it again.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I don't think the Niners are going to make it. I don't think the Jets are going to make it. I feel like
you
the
don't
Eagles,
think or you know the Jets aren't going
to
make it.
I feel like the Eagles are going to get to the playoffs and everyone's going to be talking Sanchez. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the Dolphins might make it to the playoffs too.
Yeah, Dolphins. They'll make a wild card.
And,
I hope not, though.
You don't want that to happen.
I hope not, no.
So what?
I think we're going to see Mark Sanchez at the Super Bowl.
Julian, what about you? What are your predictions?
I think we're going to see Mark Sanchez at the Super Bowl.
Producer, can we shut off Julian's mic? He's just lost all credibility for the rest of the show.
Of course, we're not going to see him there. predictions. I'm on par with Steph. I think that we will see. That was a preview of the Super Bowl for me, anyway. I think we'll definitely. I hope to see that. I think that'd be a great clash. I don't know.
And another person not to sleep on, another team out to sleep on, out of the AFC South, particularly, is Indianapolis. Yeah, Andrew Luck is a bad boy, man.
He's
a dark horse MVP candidate. If they, if they went out from here on, I mean,
you don't think the Saints have a shot at all?
They're 5-7.
Cowboys.
Really. Speaking of chokers, Tony Romo. If you look up choker in the dictionary, Tony Romo.
What about the Lions?
Lions. I'm not. Stafford and Calvin Johnson have been leaking. I mean, Calvin is obviously in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them. I don't see them going all the way. Even Cincinnati, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled out some magic. But my call is Broncos against. The Packers in a Super Bowl. And for all you guys watching, please let me know if you agree with Kevin and the Broncos and the Packers beating up or Stephanie.
I would like to see that. And the Broncos actually not choke like Peyton Manning did.
Yeah, last year in a Super Bowl, Peyton Manning was atrocious. Honestly, I thought that Geno Smith suited up as Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl last year. That's what it looked like. I didn't know if there was something we didn't see. I didn't know.
Peyton Manning was looking all right.
All right.
Enough. I'm taking the jersey off.
All right. So as we wrap up, of course, speaking of predictions, next week, Monday Night Football, we have Falcons and the Packers. Real quick, what are your predictions on that?
Packers are going to win.
Yeah.
I want the Falcons to win, kind of, because I fell in love with them at Hard Knocks, but I think the Packers will win.
Why do you say that?
The Packers will win?
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because I think Aaron Rodgers is precise. He's consistent. He's a beast.
He is.
And I feel like he just is, I don't know. He's got like the mojo this year.
He has it.
I think the Falcons are going to win just because I want to say something opposite of you.
Okay, perfect.
Yes! He wants to oppose you. So, alright, so Julian says Falcons, you say the Packers, and I'm going to go with the Packers.
Alright.
You know, but, you know, Julian, thank you anyway. But then again, you can't believe anybody wearing Jets paraphernalia anyway, so.
And I think the Jets are going to beat the Vikings. Booyah.
Whoa.
I
all
think
right.
The Jets are going to win every single game.
Yeah.
You think the Jets are going to. And guess what? I think that a Tyrannosaurus Rex is going to be outside the studio when we leave, crawling and everything.
It might be.
And hell will freeze over.
It might be.
All right. Well, guys, that was another exciting show of Monday Night Football here. Thank you so much for tuning in, hearing us rant back and forth with each other. And thank you once again for just admiring Stephanie in her beautiful 49ers jersey.
Shut it.
Most beautiful thing I've seen all year. Incredible. And we're in December, so that shows you how much that means. So anyways, guys, real quick before we get out of here, Julian, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Julian Dujaric across the board on all social media.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at IamStephZ with an F.
With an F. And you know what the F stands for? Failure. That's what the Jets are. And
you
I'm Kevin Jott.
The F stands for
yeah, we'll bleep that out. I'm Kevin John. You guys can find.
We'll bleep out my bleep.
We'll bleep out the bleep. Exactly. You got to. And I'm Kevin John. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Kevin John on my website, www.itskevinjohn.com. Or you can find me here every Monday night at 11 p.m. talking football. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Keep this conversation going on iTunes, on our YouTube channel. We love the comments. Keep them coming in. We reply to the comments. Even if they're negative, we still reply to them. We love them all.
You're so enthusiastic. I love it.
Yeah, look at that smile. I love those pearly whites.
You know why I'm smiling so much?
Because the Niners lost.
I'll let you. Ooh. So that's the show, guys, because I'm about to kill Steph right now. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.